Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, I'm at home. Lance is in the studio with Dell. I'm here just as precautions. I've been having some sinus problems, and so just didn't want to come in today. Don't go to work if you're sick. But I am not. I'm not sick per se, but I am experiencing sinus issues. So wanted to be safe, and
hey,
here I am. We'll do the show in its entirety.
Dell,
I'll be here. You'll be there.
Dell,
and we'll all be good.
Dell, did he sound like a guy with just sinus problems yesterday, or did he sound like he was definitely had the Rona?
I don't know what you sound like when you have the Rona.
Like this, probably.
He didn't sound great. But yeah. I didn't immediately think Rona. I thought, probably had a rough weekend.
No, well, that wasn't. Well, there were. See, I did. Here's the deal, though. I know the deal. I don't want to admit it, but I didn't have any Coors Lights yesterday. So,
ooh, you were sick.
I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part.
Well, hold on a second. Now, Wendy had like what was like kind of like a head cold, right, or something like that.
No, she had a headache. She had a headache.
Oh, yeah. She didn't have sinus issues?
She had cold-like symptoms, but it was she had a severe headache. I haven't had that.
Did she have any Coors Lights the day like when she felt that way?
She did not. I don't know that she did.
Neither of you did. Curious.
I don't know what that means. I went and got tested yesterday. I went to Minute Maid Park.
Did you get the saliva test?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I went and did that yesterday, so I'll find out today or tomorrow where I am. But I just said, you know what, might as well go get tested. I haven't been tested in a while. And I'm tested now, and we'll see what happens.
How much was it?
Zero.
Yeah, okay, so that's what it said. I didn't know if it was still that way. It's free for the first 2,000 people. I think they do 2,000 a day free.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I read
an article about it and was put after Saliva Direct came out. I was Googling. I'm like, how come this information isn't readily available here? And it had been in the Chronicles where I found it, but I was surprised that there wasn't more talk about that.
Yeah, it couldn't have been easier, too. You don't get out of your car. It took less than 5 minutes. It could not be easier.
Do you just spit on a Dodger cap and then they scrape it off?
No, it's not on. Your saliva is not on a Dodger cap.
You don't spit on a bait like something Dodger related.
No, I could have. No, you have to cough three times into your arm, turn your head and cough.
Yep.
But nobody's holding.
Nobody's
down
touches.
Low.
Yeah, right.
You turn your head and cough,
mm-hmm.
and then you swish it around under your cheek, the swab under your cheek, under your tongue, in your mouth. And then you put it in a thing, you seal it up, put it in a basket, and you go. And that's it.
Oh, man, that's nothing.
No, that's the best.
I'm going to go catch
that test. I didn't
want
to stick that thing because I do have sinus issues already.
No, you don't
I didn't
want
to stick it way up there in my brain and then have my sinuses go up in my brain.
So where do you go? Like, where do you drive to?
Minute Maid Park.
It just says it's easy to find?
Minute Maid?
No, the saliva place.
Oh, I don't know. Somebody sent me an email, a text that they had, and so I got that.
Like, where were you though? Where did you get the test relative to Minute Maid?
It's in the BC parking lot.
It's in the parking lot. Okay, yeah, parking lot. Okay, so on the other side of 45,
on the other side of 59.
I mean 59 rather. Yeah.
Yeah, the other side of 59. Yeah, very simple.
Good. So there it is. I think, like I said, I've read this. I think 2,000 tests a day that are free, saliva tests. I guess they're still free. That's good.
Yeah. No, it couldn't have been
easier. And you're going to get results either today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, today.
And it's open 7 days a week?
And it. I don't know that. I can't answer
but you
that.
But you did yours on a Sunday?
I did mine on Sunday, yeah.
Okay, well, probably 7 days a week then.
Probably, but I can't see them closing on a Tuesday.
Let me ask you something. Does coronavirus, does it take Monday or Tuesday off, or is it off on the weekends?
No.
I feel like it's a 7 day a week thing.
Right, right, right.
Okay, then we'll probably do tests 7 days a week.
Yeah, probably. So where do we start, Astros or Texans?
I think we start Astros first.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, Channel 2's got a bombshell. They got Jeff Luna. Have you seen that?
I saw that. So for those who don't know, 6:30 p.m. today, Channel 2 has an exclusive with Jeff Luna, former, obviously, Astros GM. And he will be sitting down talking about – I've seen some of it. I've seen some of the snippets. I don't know how long it lasts, but one of them does talk about – the Red Sox and Yankees, like, he puts them on blast. Major League Baseball knew all about – he's basically saying, oh, yeah? What about them? But the fact that he's doing this, John, do you think this is an indication that – I think it's a clear indication he's going to try to get back into baseball. Why else would
I don't know. Are you sure that this is the way to do it, is by pissing everybody in the league office off?
That's a good point, but he's already been suspended for a year. They can't do anything about that. Like, league office or no – a team could hire him.
Right, but
that suspension has already been deemed 1 year.
Yeah, but he could also burn a bunch of bridges where the commissioner says, do not hire that sumbitch.
It's possible. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Well, it's very probable that the league would feel that way. Here's my question is, you know, what does anyone care what you know, he's saying at all what Rob Manfred says. They may say, you don't run our team. Shut up. We'll hire Jeff Luna.
Well, that may be the case, especially if all the other teams, which there's a possibility, all the other teams are going to be pissed off that this was as rampant as it was. The Pittsburghs, the Arizonas, the Colorados, and going to be going, really, Jeff Luna, you knew, or really, Rob Manfred, you knew about this stuff, yet the Astros were the only one that you went after, and this was happening, and oh, by the way, Jeff Luna, he says, oh, Major League Baseball knew all about it and did nothing about it. So, and if that is the case, especially as pissed off, because allegedly all of these teams are pissed off at the Astros, and if he knows now that Rob Manfred was complicit in this, if they know that, then there's a good chance they're going to be pissed off at Rob Manfred and said, screw you, we're going to hire Jeff Luna. We don't give a rat's ass what you think about anything.
I need to see the entire interview, but it does strike me as odd. Now, maybe the people over at KRPC are a friendly organization to Jeff Luna, but why wouldn't this be done for him with, you know, not MLB Network, but ESPN or some sports.
That's a good question.
Some sports outlet. Did no one want to touch this, or did he just decide, I'm just going to talk to the local news station about it?
Maybe they're the only ones that reached out to him.
That's true. But
he's probably said no to a lot of people before. But why? That's a good point. The yes here?
Yeah, but I would. If you're trying, I don't know what his goal is, but if you're trying to just point out, shine a light on rampant cheating.
You want to know why?
Why wouldn't you toss this to ESPN?
Let me ask you.
Or ESPN's going, we don't want to touch it because baseball doesn't want ESPN to touch it.
No, that's not it. Why do you think he's doing it? Why would he do this, agree to do this, and not somebody at ESPN and not have somebody from ESPN, Jeremy Schapp, coming over doing it? What do you really think is the reason? I can tell you what it is.
I mean, I could see this story being...
What do you think it is?
Yeah, like? It's going to be a softball. There's not going to be, what information do you have that shows that you're not cheating? And then he'll tell you, and there's not going to be, ESPN would want to grill him. You got to remember now, Jeff Luna is doing something in Houston, and Houston fans are going to be like, whatever, we've heard this forever, we don't care, we already think other teams are cheating, and they're getting away with it. If you do it on a national stage, you know every single report, maybe they say, okay, we want Jeff Passan to go do this. It is going to be a grill factory, and they're going to be doing it for everybody in the nation. And remember, everybody in the nation hates the Astros. So if ESPN picks it up, they're going to have to ask the hardest questions because everybody watching is going to want to see a big FU to Jeff Luna. I don't think Jeff Luna wants any part of that.
Well, he's already been suspended for a year. He's already been labeled one of the biggest cheaters to ever grace humanity. So what could ESPN do to him?
Well, I mean, they can really ask. They can try to point that if he made points like he's going to make on Channel 2, they could come back with counter. I mean, what I think it would be, honestly, is like a deposition is what it would be if ESPN got a hold of him. Maybe not MLB Network, but an ESPN, I think, would basically depose him and ask him about the culture and Brandon Taubman, and they'd probably go in and get comments from scouts who have been fired and stuff like that. So, because I can guarantee it wouldn't be a puff piece. I think this will in some ways be a puff piece, but I'm very interested. But I think this is Jeff's chance to get his words out. I don't know that reporter. I don't know who she is. I mean, I don't watch a ton of local.
I've never seen her before. But you could be onto something here that he wasn't prepared to have. To be, and oh, by the way, she won't know the questions to ask that a Jeff Passan or a Buster only would
right.
know.
No,
to
no
ask.
Offense to her, but major league people who cover Major League Baseball
yeah.
on a regular basis,
right.
oh, they're going to have, and they'll have people giving them questions to ask too. Like I said, it's Jeff Leno. This is the only shot ESPN would get. This would be a deposition.
Well, it's not only that though. Too, find a baseball writer that hasn't been. Extremely critical of Jeff Leno.
Oh, John
Heyman. And
this
could be a giant flip of the bird to everybody. Screw you all. You all just, without anything other than Rob Manfred's word, you all just threw me under the bus.
And he's going to say, and I'll just do it local, and no one national gets it.
Did yeah. you see John Heyman's tweet?
That good thing the Astros are gone.
The Rays did quite a service for baseball. The Astros can be back in the World Series, but not this year. Not the year the trash can scandal was uncovered. Not with the losing regular season record. So thank you, TV Rays.
Thank you, TV. Can I put your pants down and put kisses on your special places?
God.
Thank you, Tampa Bay, for helping everyone.
God, you know the only reason I really, really wanted... I wanted the Dodgers to lose and the Astros to win. So the Astros could be in the World Series again. And every team that cried, no matter if the Astros won or lost, would have to sit there and say, we didn't get as far as the Astros. Stupid Braves. Stupid, stupid, idiot Braves.
Yeah. So Braves screwed it up. The Rays screwed it up. Everybody screwed it up this weekend. Nice job, dummies.
Way to go, idiots.
Baseball sucks. You know what? I'm glad because I don't even want to be watching baseball.
Thank you. It sucks.
John's baseball sucks. Right. Yeah. Baseball sucks now. I'm not going to watch 1 minute of that World Series. I don't give a rat's ass who wins that.
I may or may not. I don't know.
God, you know what though? I do hope the Dodgers lose again though.
Well, yeah. No, you have to.
Yeah.
No, I'm the biggest Rays fan in the world right now.
Yeah. I want Charlie Morton to win again.
You can't.
Charlie flipping Morton was so good. Could Kevin Cash have done us a bigger favor than pulling him?
No.
I mean, honestly, because that being a dumber move, if that was Dusty, I would have just been like, well, it's just, you know, that's just a But Kevin Cash, are you kidding me? Well, they went to their pen more than anybody. They've got a great pen, but not in this series it wasn't great. The only reason that the Astros were still in it, the only reason the Astros were still in it was because of Kevin Cash. Gosh, that was Charlie effing Morton is still Charlie effing Morton.
You know, as soon as you saw why Kevin Cash pulled him, I had no idea because it was 3-0 and it might as well have been 10-0. It was no. Right. We've seen that guy before. We're like, oh, this is a wrap. You knew that after three innings that we're not even going to get close. Not even close. The Astros weren't even. He had 49 pitches through five innings. I legitimately thought we were going to see our first. Complete game in a playoff game forever. I thought, well, this is a complete game. I mean, no one's going to stop Charlie Morton now. No, we're not even because the Astros knew he was on his stuff. He was throwing strikes, and so they had to alter their strategy and go to try to hit first pitch because, you know, hoping they got a hitter's pitch because if you get behind 1-2 and Charlie starts coming with that backdoor fastball with the tail action or the wicked slider, it's a wrap. 1-2, 0-2, you're finished. So they started swinging early, and before in all weak contact, and Kevin Cash came and got him. I mean, that was the dumbest thing in the world. You actually gave the Astros a chance.
Yep.
And of course, you know, Julian Bregman came up big. Breggy actually got a hit. I mean, he had a double down the line. That was
not. Yuli got a hit too. A single.
Yeah, Yuli finally got one past third. They finally got a couple balls past Wendell.
No, but when they had to have him at the most important time.
Double plays.
Yeah, they hit double plays.
When you need something big, Yuli.
It's what they do. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. If you'd like to get in here, so much to talk about. You want to talk about your Astros? We've got to talk about the Texans and the extra point. I don't – gosh. Man, we got a lot to do. It's still early. Don't you go anywhere. Let's talk a little whiskey first.
Well, let's talk about Blackland Distillery and what they're doing for you. what they're doing for me is giving me, you know, is creating some fantastic craft cocktails. I love a cocktail, and nothing's better. You know, when you taste a kind of a cheaper product, and then you go with something that is more sophisticated, something that's got a little more well balanced, a little more thought and process put into it, you can really taste the difference in the cocktail. And you may think, well, just, you know, as a sipping bourbon or rye or vodka or gin, but really with the cocktails, it makes a huge, huge difference and really upgrades them. And that's because Blackland Distillery, you know, Texas, one of Texas' only grain to glass distilleries here in the state that's doing four different spirits. What they do is they go through so many processes to make sure that you are going to get a very unique, smooth flavor. Whether it's the beginning of the sip or right at the end, you are going to taste the creamy deliciousness every single time out. With the vodka, you have a nice, sweet finish at the end, just a very hint of sweetness that makes it such a fantastic sipping vodka if that's what you're into. Make sure that you check out my friends at Blackland Distillery. By going to blacklanddistillery.com, you can stop up. If you're in the Fort Worth area, you can stop in at their tasting room and taste for yourself and have some cocktails. Or if not, stop in at your local liquor store, and if they don't have it, make sure you demand that they start carrying Blackland Distillery.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about making some money, people. If you're not playing at mybookie.ag promo code radio, then I just don't know what more I can say. We've been talking about this for how long. It is the only way to get on, to play, to have fun, to win, to get paid. It's all of those things. And especially, it's especially awesome because when you make your initial deposit, you get double to play with. Now, that is, no other bookie is doing that. So just so you know, you're going to get free bets, which no other bookie gives you. It doesn't give you free bets. So when you make that initial deposit, put enough in there so that you get a bunch to play with. And then, you know, you can play, but you can't take it out right away. I'll just play the free bets. No, you just can't do that. There are rules and regulations, but it's awesome. And if you're looking for a great way to play, to win, and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you'd like to get in here to talk to us, you're more than welcome. Let's bring it today. I want to know what you think. Man, what a weird way to lose that football game yesterday. I mean, in our Glory Boys thread, it struck me as just so odd to lose it that way. When he went for two, I get it. You want to win the game, you want to put it away. It would have put it away. It would have been two scores that they would have had to have. But I know Rich Gannon was pretty adamant, but he was right. Rich, the book says, I mean, you follow the card. When you play blackjack, you follow the card, and you play what you're supposed to play. And the card, it's pretty simple. When you're up by seven, you go up by eight, and you make them hit a two-point conversion. If you don't make your two-point conversion, then all they have to do is kick the extra point. Now, that was with Gostkowski kicking, I guess that was still very much up in the air. I honestly thought there's a good chance he could miss this.
I did too. You know, I was very anti going for two there because you create a situation if you kick the extra point where they have to make two plays in a row, a touchdown and a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. It's just I don't think there's really nobody in the league that would have gone for two there other than Romeo. I don't see that now. I do understand a couple things. Del, do we have Romeo talking about that? As a matter of fact, I thought I heard you maybe cutting that up.
He's got Romeo talking about
that. Let's hear what Romeo had to say first, and then we'll talk about it in a second. Okay, well, we're bringing it up right now. But, you know, my thought here on this one, John, was that with the new extra point rule, it's not super new, but with the different extra point rule where you move it back, it's not the automatic seven anymore. And Gostkowski, I did think for a second, you know, it'd be interesting. What do you think the odds are of the Titans getting in from the two versus an extra point with Gostkowski kicking? How different are those odds?
It's still
a better chance he'll make that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's a direct snap to Derrick Henry versus Gostkowski extra point. I mean, I feel
you don't know that they would have done that. Now, there is something to that.
Then they're stupid if they don't.
To the Wildcat, him running the Wildcat from the 5-yard line and getting in, there is something to that, and Romeo talks about that as well. But let's get Romeo talking.
No,
about
we don't it. Have we don't have it right now. So
oh, we don't have it right now.
Yeah,
okay.
we're working on it right now. But But John, how much do you think the Texans are a soft run defense if you are running from third and goal at the 5?
Yeah.
And you've got to score a touchdown and you're running the ball. Now, obviously, that tells you that they were going to, you know, they wanted to get close, worst case scenario, get close and make it a manageable fourth down. But still, to not throw the football in that situation, to run it from the 5-yard line, how disrespectful of a run defense that had come up huge all game long.
Yeah, well, 212 yards. They had 207 outside of that play. Listen, the 94-yard run, the 10, 12-yard bursts that he had, even McNichols was running all over.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that offensive line, even without Taylor Lewan, was still just – and they went on that left side, too. I mean, they just thought, we'll do whatever we want against you guys. And they were right. I mean, goodness gracious, that run defense is one of the worst I think I've ever seen. I mean, honestly, they stopped the one team is last week was Jacksonville. Other than that, they can't stop anybody. It is pitiful how bad they are stopping the run. And they should have just flat out had that game. Now, I really do enjoy Romeo's going for it. How many times is he going for it on fourth down? 4 times already?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he went for it instead of just taking a lead. He went for instead of extending to must score a touchdown, he went with a field goal. He went for a touchdown on fourth down. That showed you he was there to win. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that he and obviously he doesn't think much of his run defense, which, you know, I don't either, Romeo.
I can't blame him.
I don't either. But I still think that you, and I think you do too, we still think that, you know, you just take the 2-point conversion in that. I mean, you take the extra point and you force a 2-point conversion on that one.
Right. We don't have the sound, but he said I wanted to go ahead and get the 2 points. I felt like that would kind of put it out of reach for them. Well, I understood. I got what he was trying to do, but what he tried to do was wrong. And you know what? But here's the deal. This is a lot like that Frank Reich deal, not punting the ball against the Texans. You know what? With going for it on fourth downs, with throwing on which he did on third down, which I'm not all that crazy about, but he does some, you know, and even Bill O'Brien did. He threw some on fourth downs as well. As a matter of fact, that was his play on fourth and one, was to throw the ball. Telling this football team, I'm going for it on fourth downs. We're putting this game away here. And maybe he should have. Listen, either way, I don't know that they would have won this football game because they easily could get 2 yards off of this Texans defense. So maybe going for two and trying to put the game away right there was the right play, as a matter of fact, if you want to think about it, because there's no way that this Texans defense stops you anyway.
How about this? To that point, Derrick Henry, according to news and research or stats and research, he had 212 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns. It was Henry's second game with at least 200 rushing yards and at least 2 rushing touchdowns. And the other was also against the Texans last year, 211 and 3 touchdowns. 211 rushing yards. Well, I'm sorry, 211 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns last year in week 17. Henry's the second player in NFL history with multiple games with at least 200 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns against a single opponent. The other player is Jamal Lewis, who had two such games against the Browns. It's only happened twice, and congratulations, the Texans ran on that. That's good.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
That's not bad.
No, so the Texans part of it, they made the Texans making history.
Well, history making. That's what we're talking about here.
Week in, week out, the Texans just making history. It's what
you know.
They
the did. It's like the Astros were doing some different things that were potentially historical, and so are the Texans.
So, in a way. So if they honestly thinking, hey, they're going to win this football game now. You know what? This thing is changing, and you know what? If quite frankly, it would have been changing. That would have been 2-0 in the division.
Yeah.
Now the Titans would have still been 4-1 and well out in front, so the division might not have mattered. But 2-0 in the division, 2-4 overall with Green Bay, and then a bye, and then a much easier schedule coming up along the way. And oh, by the way, Green Bay didn't look like all that this yesterday. That all of a sudden you're starting to think, hey, wait a minute, this is different, and then not so much, and then 1-5. And you're completely out of it. Now the question is what do you do? Now the question is, do you start trading away? Are you a seller now?
I'm telling you right now, and they're not going to do this because they don't have a real GM, but I'm telling you right now, this is a huge problem because you don't have draft picks, so losing does nothing for you. It just makes your third round pick earlier. You have no first rounder. I mean, Bill O'Brien literally took your house to the studs and then paid for it. There's nothing on the interior, and then he paid for a brand-new roof while he was, tearing out the interior of your house. So you have no first. You have no second. Losing does nothing for you from in terms of advantage. All it does is create a losing culture in the building. And so right now what I would do, I would 100% think about selling off guys if you could. You don't typically see that, but anybody you can trade – that will bring you a draft pick, you've got to consider it. And that would include J.J. Watt. And if J.J. Watt could get you, because J.J.'s the only guy making plays up front, I'm going to tell you something. It is Zach Cunningham is playing atrocious football. It is a gigantic waste of money. And Justin Reed isn't playing with the crap either. Both of those guys are missing run fits galore. They are, Adams was the same way yesterday, but they're missing a ton of run fits, a ton of tackles. And right now, Justin Reed's on a rookie contract. Zach Cunningham is wasting your money. He's burning. He's like a kid at college. He's not even going to class. And you just spend all that money, just burning it up.
Yep.
And he is playing awful football right now, and that's a big, big problem. You miss DJ Reader. You miss Bernardrick McKinney. But even with Bernardrick, things weren't going great. I mean, you're still paying a crap load of money for two inside linebackers, which runs completely outside of the realm of what smart teams do. Now you got to try to deal players away. John, who, like, legitimately, who is anyone going to want? No one for your secondary.
Well, JJ looked good yesterday. JJ did look good.
No, JJ is your guy. Yeah, JJ is your guy.
Yep.
That's a guy that you could deal.
Yeah. And he's a name, and he's still playing well, and now he's got the injury concerns, which will bring his value down with just a hair. Plus, he's a little bit older, but you still got him tied up this and next. So I think you could probably get a second for JJ right now. A team that needs a JJ Watt, a team that needs a pass rusher and a big.
You have him for 2 years. If you can afford him next year too, yeah, you could. Yeah. You could convince yourself you get him for a year and a half.
Yep.
Second
yep.
is a little high for a year and a half rental. Well, I mean, Texans do it, but for other teams, it's a little high. But it's something. If you think you're on the verge of being a Super Bowl team, I would definitely consider it. Now, JJ did get a sack against Ty Sambrello, who is not good.
No, but he's been looking pretty damn good.
He's active. Yeah, I think he'd be rejuvenated in a different spot and. Anything it could bring you. I mean, even if it's a third, I mean, I'm for it. You get rid of that money and you get rid of the money. It'd be sad to see JJ go. You get a draft pick, but I mean, we're looking at rebuild mode now. You're not competitive this year. And right now it's not looking like you're going to be super competitive next year.
All right. 731 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, if we do our job and we tackle, we're all right. We didn't do that. So that's never going to win you games. I mean, when we do it right, it's good. But we don't do it right anywhere near enough. Nowhere even close to the realm of enough. So it's extremely frustrating when you know what you can do when you do it right, and we're not even close to doing it right a lot, too often. I mean, if we do our job and we tackle, we're all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty basic. You got to tackle, and they don't. Man, you're right. The Zach Cunningham on the 94-yard run could not have been more worthless. He just ran outside.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry just cut it up, and then he just turned and ran after him and had zero chance. Justin Reed couldn't catch him. I mean, dude can motor at 243 or whatever he
Justin
weighs.
Justin ran a 4.440 in college at the combine. I mean, that's how fast Derrick Henry was running in, and Justin Reed's probably not running that fast right now. Zach Cunningham missed so many run fits. He's playing upright. He's playing with no technique. He got wrong-shouldered on the unless the Texans taught that. He got his outside shoulder covered up on one of the plays where I think it was Derrick Henry and not Nichols. But you know, he's not playing with any patience. He's not diagnosing properly. He's getting caught behind blocks, missing tackles. Justin Reed, just golly, I don't see a commitment as a tackler. And granted, this is what Derrick Henry does. Derek makes you reassess tackling. I get it. It's probably terrible to tackle Justin Reed. I'm sure it's a terrible, terrible day to see, I'm not Justin Reed, to see Derrick Henry coming downhill at you. It's probably the worst thing in your life when Derrick Henry is running right down, you know, down to your side, especially if you're a cornerback and your wide receiver is just voided so he could go block a linebacker, because teams will do that. They one-on-one you with corner versus running back, and you're like, oh, God. Now I have to try to tackle Derrick Henry. It's not easy, but Justin Reed is a safety, man. That's a big part of your job is you're the last line of defense. You got to fit your run fits and get guys down. And the Texans were awful with run fits yesterday. Really bad. Really bad.
Oh, no. Oh, that's an understatement.
Yeah, you got to watch it multiple times. You'll see 41 is out of position. He's playing upright. He's not staying low. He's getting washed down by blocks instead of staying, you know, instead of anticipating. Good linebackers on the inside, they recognize blocking schemes, and so they recognize the inside zone stuff that they're running. They'll see the washed down blocks, and they know that there's a good chance that the running back's going to pop out on the other side, so they don't overdo it. They don't over-pursue and overflow. But because Bernardrick McKinney has been that big hammerhead in the middle, and Zach Cunningham's been allowed to just kind of play freewheeling, now, when it's time for Zach to play with better technique, because you don't have that big hammer who's willing to take on blocks and all that stuff, it has turned into a real problem for him. So this is and that guy's getting paid a ton of money. This is not good. Not good at all. And it's already terrible. Your run defense across the board has been terrible.
So there are positives, though. Jack Easterby just retweeted this from John Gordon. Today, let's one, look for positives. Two, believe in yourself and others. Three, be thankful. Four, learn, improve, grow. Five, encourage someone. Six, replace have to with get to. Seven, focus on solutions. Eight, trust in positive intentions. Nine, let go of things you can't control. And 10, do your best. So today, Lance, let's start anew with positives that we can put in our lives, and we can do this going forward, and you don't know what we can accomplish now, Lance. You don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Us as in we or the Texans, or who are you talking about?
Well, Jack Easterby retweeted it, so I think this is a Texans thing. Okay. Now, they are only 1-5. Does 11-5 make the playoffs? Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. If you think that this is over, it's not over. Not when we've got all of these new initiatives that we're going to put forward today. Okay?
Okay.
So just so that's Jack Easterby's contribution. I know that he's, you know, president of football operations, and he's going to, you know, he's changing the look of this team. He already has changed the look of this team. He's had a, you know what? His stamp is on this football team. And damn it, they almost won a football game yesterday. Almost won a football game. So I don't want any, we don't have time for negativity about Zach Cunningham, JJ talking about can't tackle, and you talking about run fits, whatever. We got a lot of positives.
Yeah, there was some positives. I mean, Deshaun threw, he was fairly accurate. He completed a lot of passes. David Johnson got quite a few carries. That was positive. I saw tight ends involved. I saw Deshaun actually getting a variety of wide receivers involved. Randall Cobb, rather, made a really good catch for the touchdown.
Brandon Cooks showed up in the second half?
Brandon Cooks showed up, yeah. Yeah.
Brandon Cooks showed up in the second half?
Yeah, I'm starting to realize now. Go to David Johnson's Twitter, and I think you'll see why he's a Texan. I don't want to believe this is true. And I say all this stuff because, look, I'm a Catholic guy. I went to church yesterday. I go to church every Sunday, whatever. But David Johnson and his header, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but I just feel like this is an Easterby special because he's got a thing where it's like it's a Jesus thing in the top of his Twitter, which I'm not upset that he's doing that stuff. But I know that Brandon Cooks was an Easterby guy because he and Jack are real tight because I think they see things kind of the same way in terms of the Christian values and this and that. I just don't think you can be making personnel decisions based on how much Jesus is in their life. You can make other decisions. That's awesome. That's great. But I'm not a big fan of, you know who we need, Bill? We need to also add David Johnson. Like, because, John, that never made any sense at all to add that level of money. They didn't have to pay for it. You didn't make the Cardinals pay for his contract. Like, you paid for part of Jadeveon Clowney's. Like the Astros made, you know, Arizona pay for part of Zach Greinke's deal. You should have made them, you actually should have had them send some cash over too. So you have to pay for his contract. There was no reason to even accept that bad contract because he's not even that good. He hasn't been good on tape since 16. You could have picked up any old dude for a lot less money. And they didn't do that. And I'm wondering if this is like Jack saying, hey, this is a character. This is the kind of character guy that we need, Bill. We need to bring these character guys in. Football, locker room character is important, but you also have to be able to play football and not cost a fortune. And that's not happening here. So I just wonder if that's one of the reasons David Johnson came over too. I know that it's one of the reasons Brandon Cooks is here because Jack's been down with him since his New England days.
Yeah. No. Listen, the David Johnson decision, I think, was clearly because you don't pay that dude that kind of money on that kind of contract unless you feel like there's something more to him. And having God in your life, that's great. You know what? I applaud him. I applaud, you know, the lifestyle that he's chosen, and that's all fine and good. It's whether or not you can run the football, and David Johnson can't run the football. David Johnson just can't run the football.
I don't know how it happened, but it happened. He's done.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the burst. He can't get an NFL corner. He can get what's blocked for him, and that's about it. There's a billion guys who can get what's blocked for him. Yeah, you don't have to spend any money on those guys. You really don't. So it's already happened. It's over. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But I just do believe that whoever's in charge, you know, that's what bothers me, John. I wouldn't mind seeing JJ traded if the right price tag could be had, but at what cost? Like, who's going to decide what this trade should look like? I mean, to me, I think it's Bazergan, their personnel guy. This is the guy who needs to make this trade, not Jack Easterby. Somebody who's been in the league has to make this trade. They don't have a cap guy. I mean, they have a guy who's been an assistant cap guy. But so even if you do trade J.J. Watt, how do you know what to get for him?
Yeah.
Like Jack doesn't know. No. You going to work off Jack's other deals he signed? Because he was involved in those deals too. Tell me he wasn't, John. You know for a fact he was.
Oh, yeah. No, he was absolutely involved in those trades. Absolutely involved. And yeah, his 2 cents chimed in. No. Listen, Bill O'Brien is taking the brunt of this, and now all is fine, all is good. Nope. Jack Easterby was in the middle of that, agreeing with Bill and fighting for what Bill wanted. So if he's going to tell, if he's going, not well, Cal knows because Cal was there too. But apparently Cal just is ignoring all the bad decisions that Jack Easterby made, and Bill O'Brien took the brunt of it. And that's why Bill O'Brien ain't all that happy. All right, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. I want to talk about this STX over at Chastang Ford. The STX right now is $29.99, $499 per month, or $499 per month with zero down. I mean, this is a beautiful truck, beautiful truck. You got three different models to choose from. All you got to do is go to Chastang Ford, or you can see it online. I'm online right now, as a matter of fact. And the first thing that they tell you, well, all the things that you can do. Everything that you can do directly online. You can customize your payments, value your trade, get pre-approved, schedule a test drive, and VIP delivery at home or in store. You never have to leave your home to buy a car at Chastang Ford. And trust me, that is not the case with the other guys, because the other guys are just going to want to upsell you. It's what they do. They have to have you in the dealership. Otherwise, they can't upsell you, and they don't want to sell a car if they can't upsell you and get as much as they possibly can. So here's the deal. Chastang Ford says, no, we'll do it, and we'll deliver it to you. You don't like that one, we'll bring you a different one to test drive. You like that? You don't like that one, we'll bring you a different one to test drive, and so on and so forth. So if you're looking for the dealership that's going to do everything that they say that they're going to do at the price that they're going to tell you, they're going to get you in the prices that you have to have right now. It's at Chastang Ford. Chastang at home, ChastangFord.com, or get to the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, it's Chastang Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I'm not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away, if I die.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, see, if we hadn't practiced that play, I would say maybe they weren't prepared, but that play was run in practice, and they should have been prepared. They knew it was the Wildcat. They knew it was the Wildcat, and they thought that they knew where the ball was going to go, and the ball started where they thought it was going to go, but then when the ball bent back, the responsibility had been vacated, and so there's a lot of space for the runner.
The responsibility had been vacated. He's talking about the Wildcat play that won the football game from the 5-yard, third and five. When they split Tannehill out wide, I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? How easy are they making this? And then, oh, my goodness. You know if Derrick Henry gets the snap that they are running the football. Holy cow, are you kidding me? And they just bullied their way into the end zone and won the football game. That was just unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
Let me see who vacated. I'm looking right now. Oh, Brennan Scarlett did. He didn't know where to go.
He vacated the neighborhood?
Scarlett didn't know where to go, and then he ended up being an easy block for the tight end who was coming across. Scarlett didn't know where to go. He left, and then he came back to that side but got blocked. I mean, and as soon as Justin Reed sees it, I mean, he pulls up. Instead of running right into the bottom of his legs and knocking his legs out from under him, he did not do it on the touchdown. He just
just terrible. Let's get some calls in here. We told you you can do it. Hey, Astros, sucks. Texans, you're more than welcome. Either one. 713-780-3776. Mark is first up. What do you say, Mark? Okay, Dan is next. What say, Dan?
Yeah, hey, guys. Just wanted to talk about that going for the two, and I know you guys kind of felt that Romeo shouldn't have done that, but the reason I felt that, that he should have done that was, you know, what do you believe in more? Do you believe more in your offense, or do you believe more in your defense? And, you know, I personally believe more in Deshaun Watson and them getting a two-point conversion than relying on our defense to stop them from getting two. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. And on the other thing is the Derrick Henry Wildcat, I mean, they should have called timeout there. They looked confused. And I'm sitting at home, sitting there going, call timeout. And they don't call timeout. So they had two timeouts. I don't know why they wouldn't have used one there.
Was a pretty big play, and if they were confused. Now, Romeo, old dude's like, hey, we practiced that. You should have known what to do. But we were messed up. But, yeah, well, we didn't at the time. And we were kind of – looked like it was a fire drill. And we weren't – you know, we weren't in a – but you should have known what to do. Yep, we should – you're right, we should have. But you didn't. And then you give – I don't know, you give the offense time to rethink that. I thought, wow, go, let them go. Because there's no chance they can get 5 yards with this play. How stupid is this?
Right.
Well,
I was thinking that I was like, oh, from the 5 yard line, they're showing they're 100% going to run, and just I mean, I didn't have a lot of time to process it, and in my mind, subconscious, there was a little sliver. I said, well, I mean, they haven't stopped them all day. They got an extra blocker in there, so basically, this is going to be interesting, and then. You know, Brennan Scarlett voided and then came back, but by that time the tight end could square him up. He wasn't able to squeeze him back inside, and he was able to get outside and get a little taste of the safeties, get a little taste of smaller guys. So that's how they were able to do it. I tell you, this is really Anthony Weaver. I mean, I don't want to blame it on Anthony Weaver. I'm not trying to blame. Guys have to do their jobs, because some guy went, this is all on Anthony Weaver. As soon as he took over this – Zach Cunningham and Justin Reed started regressing. I'm like, dude, you get taught. Your run fits are taught. Technique is taught. Nobody teaches guys to stand up straight when they're scraping to the holes, or to not even scrape, to just stand up straight and get caught behind blocks. You have jobs to do. I get so sick of people letting players off the hook and just trying to make it easy, saying, well, they're regressing because of the coaching. Dude, that's a basic technique to recognize your run fit and step into your run fit and restrict the hole. Take on a block, restrict the hole, fit your run, and when you're not, and then tackle, wrap up and finish. And that's not what they're doing. That has nothing to do with Anthony Weaver taking over as defensive coordinator. That's on them. That's a grown-ass man's job to do who's getting paid. Now, with that said, this is a bad opening year for Anthony Weaver to show his stuff as the defense coordinator, because let's be honest, John, they're going to completely flip this staff over. Whoever comes in, they're going to bring in a new staff, and Anthony Weaver on his, you know what he's going to have in his Wikipedia? Defensive coordinator, 1 year, worst run defense in the league, easily.
Oh, yeah.
This is not good for him, for his future as a defense coordinator.
No. No, this is terrible. But put it squarely on the players that he's been given. Put it squarely on the players.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff he's not doing well or whatever, but I don't know what they are. I'm not an X's and O's guy, you know, to that extent, to where I'm like, well, he should have done it. I'm sure a DB could tell us something, but I know this much. Basic run fits, tackling, learning to take on blocks, learning to play with instincts, recognizing blocking schemes as a safety and linebacker, you know, being able to two gap and get arm extension and shed a blocker, that's technique and that's play, that's execution.
Right.
And if you guys aren't doing it, then that's on the players too. You can, what are you going to do? Bench Zach Cunningham? Cool story.
I'm going to tell you this. I think Anthony Weaver is head coach material. I don't know about coordinator material. I hate to judge him here, but he's intelligent. He is the players love him. I think he's a motivator. I think he's I do. I think he's head coach material, just like Vrabel. Vrabel was here. He wasn't very good as a coordinator. He just wasn't. Right. There wasn't a very good defense, but he was a more of a CEO kind of guy and a motivator and a guy that guys got behind. I think that's Anthony Weaver as well.
Yeah, it's definitely working. Let's get Terry in here. Wants to talk about Jack Easterby. What's up, Terry? How you doing? Put it in reverse, Terry.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about Jack Easterby. And, I mean, just you got to follow the logic here. So he apparently likes religious players. Nothing against that. But so just hypothetical, what would happen if he had the chance to trade for Jesus? Are y'all saying that Jesus couldn't run for 7-8 yards a carry?
Kind of an upright, slender runner, thin-hipped. I mean, not the body type, more of a...
Yeah, I think he'd be more of a wide receiver.
Yeah. More of a Colin Johnson type.
Okay, just follow the logic again. Let's say Jesus could run for 8 yards a carry.
Okay.
Let's just assume that's
like
the case.
Like Daryl Henderson, got it, okay.
I mean... What about someone who loves Jesus? Couldn't he run for maybe 4.2 yards a carry? You got to think about these things in the recruiting process. Les.
Yeah, I would think, but I don't think that's happening right now.
Ooh, I just looked up some of Jesus' measurables. You're not going to like it, Terry. If you judge him by the standards of his time, Jesus was about 5'5".
What about Darren Sproles?
So he's more Darren Sproles.
Would you take Darren Sproles on this team right now in his prime?
Yeah,
absolutely.
But he was a carpenter. Well, he's a carpenter, so he probably has a little bit of muscle, but I'm not sure he had put on the – I don't know if he had the legs of Darren Sproles.
Well, Tyler Irvin didn't either, and they took him in the third round.
And how'd that
work out? Poorly.
This guy healed lepers and things. Are you telling me? Never mind.
Well, you wouldn't take him with Will Fuller on his squad? He can heal lepers.
And JJ?
Heal lepers, but what about strength and conditioning?
Well, you got to think with this day and age, there'd be a bigger impact. Yes, you know, still, same way players back in the 50s weren't lifting
twitch,
weights
though,
hardly.
He's 5'5". Does he have the quick twitch aspect to survive in the league? He's got to be a pretty special athlete at 5'5".
Yeah.
5'5". Based on how sinewy, I'm saying 5'5", 130.
That doesn't seem like he's going to last.
Rex Burkhead than he is.
Yeah.
Rex Burkhead is built. I don't think he's Rex Burkhead.
But if he played now, he would be built.
So your body type is
all right,
your body
Danny
type.
Danny Woodhead then.
Your
Danny
body
Woodhead.
Type is your body type.
Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead. What?
Does he have the quicks for that?
More J.J. Taylor. Remember him?
I still got to know about the quicks. Is he a quick twitch dude, though?
I got to think he is.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to think he is.
Why you think Jesus
Ooh,
is slow?
We've got an actual real question here.
I don't like this
question.
No,
I like
at
it.
All.
I like it quite a bit. We got a real question from the peanut gallery.
Okay, go ahead, read it, and I'm going to answer it very swiftly.
Okay, a question. Do you guys think Easterby and McNair would actually bring in a Jewish running back?
Yes. I don't think they look. Jack Easterby had Julian Edelman. I don't think he has a problem with that. That's from AJ. Say who the peanut gallery is.
Oh, you said it.
Oh, trust me. He doesn't care about his name being on this. Have you heard his show?
Sometimes.
He puts his name on everything.
I do think he brings up a good point.
I don't think there'd be any issue because Jesus wouldn't
actually be praying to himself, would he? So when they go to chapel, who's he praying to? Himself?
He's the chaplain.
Be a little weird. To have your running back leading be the guy you pray to.
Tell you what.
Wouldn't that be a little weird?
I bet you this team would win more.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. I bet you they win a lot more. And
they
I know Jesus isn't on your two teams.
Jesus is on my team.
Jesus okay? on my team. My team's winning.
And you know what?
Three.
My team's winning.
My team's winning.
Not 1-5.
My team's won 2 in a row. So. Yeah. Jesus on my team.
Who's
right
your
now.
Team, John? The Bengals? They're not winning.
No.
My team is the
LSU.
Jesus
they
team.
Gave up a ton of points to a team that can't score on anybody.
My
but
team
LSU.
Is the Jesus team. It's okay. That's right. That's right. I'm on team Jesus.
I hope when Jesus gets his carries reduced, he doesn't become a cancer in the locker room. That's all I'm hoping.
And team Jamel. Two teams.
You're not on team Jamel.
I'm on team Jamel.
Why isn't that in your profile on Twitter? Hashtag Team Jesus, hashtag Team Jamel. Since you're on both teams, you should do that.
Don't worry. Because I don't put stuff. I don't care about
profiles. You know what? If Jack Easterby ever retweets you,
No,
I'm on Team Jesus, too. He's never retweeted anything I've said.
That's why he's a loser.
Not once has he retweeted anything I said. And I've had some positive stuff out there. Nothing, like, nothing that was trying to be team retweet, you know, with everyone who comes out and has a saying.
No, Jack, you let the day define you. You're not on Team Jesus. You're just
I'm just not on Team Inspirational Saying on Twitter.
Well, then you can't be on Jack Easterbrook's team.
Well, you should. Well, I don't care so much about that. I do care about who's on Team Lance Loken.
Lance Loken.
Are you on that team?
You know, there's a bunch of people on Team Lance Loken. And, oh, by the way, he told me if you're looking for a job, if you're a real estate agent and you're looking for a job, contact him. Go to thelokengroup.com, thelokengroup.com. That's L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com. But if you're selling your house or buying a house, this is the great time. And, oh, by the way, this is an unbelievable time to sell your home because there's so many people. I don't know why, but right now there are so many people that are looking for houses. And it is a seller's market, and you're getting ridiculous. 2 days, 46 showings, 19 offers, sold for $10,000 over the list price. That's what happened with Gary and Bessie. And you may not be Gary or Bessie, but you can get top dollar for your home, and you need the agent that's going to create an auction-like effect. That's what Lance Loken does because he's got access to so many more buyers. This is the key to selling a home. You want to get rid of all the hassle and stress? You can get an immediate cash offer. That you will love Lance Loken. When this thing is all said and done, you're going to feel like Lance is a friend of yours. You know why? Because he's putting a boatload of money into your pocket, and he's doing it quicker than anybody else. On average, these people are selling, the Loken Group is selling their homes in just an average of 32 days, while the average on the market for the average agent is 49. You want that kind of effect. You want that kind of performance each and every time. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or thelokengroup.com.
ESPN 97.5.